What's going on, Bourne family? Welcome to Bourne to Talk, episode number 12. I'm very excited for this episode. I had a hell of a lot of fun recording it, and I'm excited for you guys to hear it. This episode genuinely features one of the nicest people I think I've ever spoken to in my life. This person is so friendly, hence why their name is the Bubbly Powerlifter. Guys and girls, I would like to introduce you to Miss Bonica Law. Absolute monster on the platform, incredibly strong, but also a lovely human being, just really down to earth. This is Bonica's first podcast ever, so I'm extremely honoured to be able to do that with her. It was a hell of a lot of fun, and I can't wait to do another one with her. Please be aware, this podcast is sponsored by All Out Athletics, my personal sponsor and the Born to Talk sponsor. Please do check them out for the best strength training equipment in the UK. They stock clothing, bars, and a whole bunch of stuff that's going to be coming in the near future, which is going to change the game. I'm very excited to be a part of that. Guys and girls, I hope you enjoy this podcast, and I will speak to you soon. What's going on, Bourne family? Welcome to Bourne to Talk, episode number 12. Number 12, I know this is only 12 episodes in, some people have got hundreds, but I'm so thrilled to be on this. Like, breaking double digits and having people actually want to be involved is just incredible to me. So today, I'd like to introduce you to one of my favourite people in powerlifting. This person is incredibly strong, like one of the strongest women walking the fucking earth right now. But alongside that, she is probably one of the loveliest and most friendly people I've ever actually had the honour of speaking to. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to the bubbly powerlifter, Miss Bonica Law. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you so much, Peter.
Thank you so much for being on. I'm thrilled to have you on.
All right. So, well, I am glad to be here as well. It's exciting. First podcast.
Amazing. The first one.
Yes.
Oh, I'm honored. Thank you. That's exciting. Okay, so no pressure.
I know. Great.
So let's start.
Oh, no. Where's my notes? I need to figure out what to write. Oh, my gosh. I need to recite.
So let's start out, if you don't mind, with you introducing yourself, giving us a little background about yourself, what it is you do, and numbers, whatever it is you want to say to people.
Well, my name is Bonica Law. I reside in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm a pretty simple person, actually. I do customer service over the phones, 8 hours, well, 30-some hour week, and then I go work out. I like cats. I like to travel. Guilty pleasure to play Skyrim.
Oh, nice. Good choice.
I know. I was like, I'm pretty simple, I like to hang out with friends when I can and experiment with cooking sometimes.
Nice.
I like to just have it, already done, like, hey, you cook it for me.
I'm glad you said you like cats because the viewers obviously won't hear, or the listeners, sorry, won't hear this, but you may very well see a cat walk across the screen at some point because she knows when I'm podcasting, so she always just walks in front. So I apologise if she does.
No, I want to see the cat now.
I think she's asleep. I don't know if she gets a bit grumpy, bless her. So you are a 4-times IPF champion, world champion, is that right?
Let's see, is that including the raw? So 14, 15, 16 raw. Yeah. And one equipped. Yeah. So 4.
That's crazy. Like a 4-time world champion, a 1-time world champion, anything is insane, but a 4-time world champion, like how does that feel to you?
I don't know. I don't think about it that often, honestly. Like I think about it and then I don't think about it because I do have other goals that I want to reach. That I haven't, so I feel unfulfilled, but fulfilled at the same time.
Okay.
But I don't know, I think it'll just hit me more when I get more consecutive, to be like my coach. My coach is Kimberly Walford, so my more consecutive successful like her, I don't know, maybe it'll hit me.
She's a strong girl, isn't she?
Yeah.
Certainly is. So, do you mind sharing those other goals? Like, what is it that you want to achieve in your life?
My goals, well, let's see, wise or
whatever it is you want to share, whatever you're comfortable sharing.
Well, shoot, I don't know. Like powerlifting, I always have to sit there and think about my goals, and like, I don't think of numbers that much, but I really want to get in higher rankings of wealth points. That's a goal, and I slowly am climbing up. It would be really nice to claim like all 4. The raw records, I would really like to claim all them. I dabbled a little bit like when I was a kid, I did a quick team and I come back to it a little bit. I really want to get that squat record. Bench, you know, my friend Hildeberg, she can have it. You know, it'd be cool. It'd be nice close to her. Hildeberg knows. We're friends. We're pals. She knows. I'm like, close to it. The deadlift, that'll be nice, you know, and claim the total, you know, for equipped. But, like, it would be cool to, like, I have a friend of mine, Kip, in Wisconsin. We have a battle of who's going to get to 700 pounds. Sorry, I don't know the kilos of that.
That's okay.
700 pounds, it sounds cooler. It's bigger.
It does sound bigger. We'll go with 700 pounds. It's much better.
Yeah. No, but I'm going bet with Blaine Sumner. If I ever reach 1,000, he has to give me $1,000. So
nice.
We're going to have that, you know, podcasted. Hey, Blaine, you got to own up to that when I get there someday. Let's see, like a personal life. I don't know. I just travel more, hit as many countries as possible. That's what I just think of, and just be happy, in life, and just go with the flow and travel.
See, I love that because you'd be surprised how many people I've spoken to and their goal has been like to expand my business or to earn more money or whatever it is. And that's fantastic. Like those goals are amazing, but at the same time, you can't take it with you. It's not going to make you happy. So for you to say that you want to be happy, I think that's the most important thing, like the most important thing in life.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I just want to travel and be happy and lift, and lifting is being happy, and be at the gym with all my, you know, buddies there.
Yeah.
Makes me happy, and that's what I want to keep doing.
Well, exactly. So like you said, like it's a simple life, isn't it? But it's as long as it makes you happy, it doesn't matter. Like I'm much the same in that I just want everything to be really simple because I don't want stress. Nobody wants stress. Where's the fun in that?
No. Try to be stress-free as possible and get away from the stress. I'm like, oh, stress over here. Bye-bye. I'm going over here.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I am. Like, yeah. See ya.
Do you know what? It's funny. Like I'm going through therapy at the moment and I think sometimes, like that's obviously what I want to be like. But sometimes I'm like, oh, I'll avoid stress. And the stress just hits me. And I'm like, oh, God. It just stays there all the time.
Yeah.
Perks of life, though, eh? Perks of being a grown-up now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, when stress comes, like, way I always think of it is like, you know what? Even though all this negativity is coming, there is going to be a positive. It'll be over soon.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how I deal with it.
There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. Excuse the cliche, but there is, isn't there? There's always something. As long as you're willing to fight for it, there's always something better. Always.
Yes.
So, obviously, I still can't believe it. Like, 4-time world champion is crazy. But obviously, that's a lot of hard work, which shows us your work ethic. And I think a work ethic in one thing shows, like, pays testament to a person's entire work ethic in all aspects of their life. But there's a lot of people that don't see the work that goes into becoming a world champion. We just see what you do on the platform. So could you give us an insight into, like, the entire package, what goes into becoming a world champion?
Well, when people, like, start approaching me at the gym, like, I start saying these key four words, like, you have to make the time to go to the gym. But with that time, you have to have that dedication. Mm-hmm. With that dedication, then it leads into consistency. With that consistency of, like, training and everything, it leads into patience. You have to, and that's the biggest one, is just patience with lifting. And so, like, when Kim, when she kind of, so I didn't lift for 5 years. Like, last meet was February 2008 as an equipped lifter. I did not lift for 5 years. And people don't realize that. I keep trying to say, I'm like, I did not live for 5 years. I keep saying that. Five. I did nothing. And so when it came to February 2013, I changed jobs. And then I'm like, you know what? I have time to go to the gym again. Let's go to the gym. And I just started slowly working out. And then, like, within those 5 years, like, Kim, she honestly kind of poked and prodded at me every once in a while. I mean, like, 8 months, and I eventually got peer pressured back, honestly, by a few people. One was Priscilla Rebeck, Katie Dodd, Agni, Lady. I got peer pressured back, so I did a Raw competition, and then that was in April, and then Kim, she reached out to me and said, see you at Raw Nationals, and she became my coach that day.
Awesome.
But it does lead into the train. I am getting to it. But, you know, so she decided to coach me, but I had to make the time. I had to make time for it. I was bouncing between, I had a new full-time job, but I was still juggling two other kind of part times.
Okay.
And I had screwy hours with the new job. And there was days that I had to go in at 10 p.m. at night to go train. And I would have to be at the new job by 8 a.m. So I would take a couple-hour workout, then drive home and try to sleep.
Hmm.
Or I would try to split the workouts. I knew what I wanted. And, like, because I only had April to, I think it was July is when Nationals was.
Hmm.
So I only had those few months because I told her, like, I want to win. And I was, you know, I didn't know who competition was. I didn't know anything. And so I knew in that time I was on a mission to grow and be the best that I could in that short time, you know, just newly being with her. And, you know, I think that's like when that time that again, I didn't have that great consistency because of juggling the hours. Mm. But that's how I grew. It's like you have to have that mindset. And like I'm not officially coaching, but I'm guiding a couple people.
Mm-hmm.
And training, and I keep telling them, you have to make the time. I can help you with your workout, but if you're not going to put in the time, I can't help. You know, like, I don't know how to explain that part.
No, of course, yeah, it makes
sense. Like, if you want the results, like, you have to put in that time.
Yeah.
Basically, and, yeah, and I made the time. I made time for it. And so, like, now I have a nice, beautiful schedule. 6 to 2, yes. Nobody wants nice. To wake up early. I'm like, I will, because I know I want to train in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Well, it works out nicely, doesn't it?
Yes.
So, obviously...
But, like, that's just how it works. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's important to, like you were saying, you were guiding people. I think it's important to teach people that they have to... Like, you can give them all the information in the world. You can expand all of your knowledge into them, but... If they aren't willing to work for it, then it's not worth anything, is it? Like, they have to be willing to put in, like, to listen to what you say and then to put in that work as well.
Yes.
So
exactly.
From what you've just said, obviously, you're clearly a very hard worker, not just in powerlifting, just in life in general, you're a very hard worker. But have you always been like that, or is that something that's developed over time because it's had to, or because that's just the way you enjoy doing it, or... What...
People don't believe me. I used to be really shy and not talk.
Really?
See, you don't even believe me. I used to be very shy and not talk to anybody. I was an introvert, believe it or not. I really was. But what helped was, honestly, so back when I was a kid, just introvert, not talk. And then when I got my job, it was kind of ingrained. Yes, there's a difference between humbled and I say I am, you know, because I can't even tell you what I did at my last competition. I don't know what numbers I did.
Mm.
But, like, it was ingrained in my head back as a kid, like, not even say anything. Don't even ask you a question. You just shut it down. Mm. So I was trained not even say absolutely anything. And when I was that first job, which was physical in Michigan, like, my coworkers are like, well, no, you still need to talk about it a little bit and, like, let us know, tell us your experience. And they kind of helped me open up to be what I am now. Like, that's what honestly started, is just to start expressing myself. And I moved away from home and I got to be what I wanted to be, just be free and happy.
See,
not held back.
It's so important. So important. And do you know what? Honestly, this is one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, because I've been excited to talk to you about this. One of the things that I love about you, and I think so many people do as well, is your personality. Like, no matter what, you just always seem to be smiling. You always seem to be having fun. And is it just because you enjoy what you do so much, or you just appreciate all of those things in life?
I just know, like, I guess I was also brought up to just always be a good person, and you do need to strive and find what makes you happy.
Mm.
And, you know, like, you don't want to be miserable doing something.
No.
And, you know, and then, like, powerlifting, it just makes me happy. And not having it for 5 years, I realized, it's like, I don't want to give this up ever again. You know, it's stunk not having it in my life. And then, like working in a gym environment, you know, I realized, like, this is what I want. This, I like interacting with people, like being in the fitness industry. I don't look exactly like the part, you know, like a cute little bikini model, but I still enjoy it, and people always approach to me and ask me questions, even when I was a kid, and I just believe in you just always do what makes you happy, and just, like, we'll still go with the flow, I like saying that, but I, you know, just, like, if there's anything negative, just get away from it.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't need to put yourself in that situation, do you? You shouldn't, like, if you don't want to be there, just fucking leave. It's really simple.
Exactly.
It's not a difficult concept, is it? Like, if something doesn't make you happy, I appreciate sometimes we have to do things in life that we don't enjoy. We have to at some point in our life. But if you're doing something you don't enjoy and you have the means to get away from it, why would you stay? It's so backwards.
Yeah. Exactly.
It amazes me, you know, like, for you, I don't 100% believe you, but I will. You saying
what?
That about the confidence thing, like, you not having, you being really shy. Now,
I was.
That's one of the things I love, though, is you're so confident. So what is it that took you from, obviously, I appreciate you were saying that your colleagues were, like, helping to bring it out of you, but how does a person go from being an introvert and not talking about stuff to just being so, so energetic and so lovely and just so, like, compassionate about everything? How do you go to being so confident?
Working that front desk, and I did it for a year, and just being around people, and I just like to make people smile, make them happy. Like, even if I'm in a grocery store or I'm shopping, I'm like, I like that person's shoes, I'm gonna tell them because that'll probably brighten their day, you know. Because, yeah, I like when somebody compliments me, I'm gonna give it back, you, yeah, know. I just want to make people smile and happy, feel good about themselves, make it a positive experience, make what everything and anything you do just be positive and make it stick in your head that I like this, you, yeah, know?
And I think that's
but that's how it is. Sure. It's just working the front desk.
See, it's funny you mentioned the grocery store thing, because one of the things I always strive to do is every time my fiancé and I go shopping, or I go shopping on my own, or I meet anybody, I remember working in retail, and I remember how much abuse I used to get, and it sucked. But every time I go anywhere, I will always ask someone how they are. Yeah, I'll ask someone how they are. I'll ask how their day's been. I'll ask what time they feel. Like, I'll just make conversation, because I remember people doing that to me, and I remember how it made me feel. Like, it made my day go better. So that's what I do, much like you do there. And I think it's important, because you're passing something on then. You never know what impact that is going to have on somebody. It could be huge.
Yeah. I used to work at a grocery store, and I work clothing retail, so, like, I know how it is, you know. And, like, I always joke, I'm like, I think it should be a requirement for everybody in the world, minimum 6 months of retail. Just
yeah,
do
no,
it.
But it's true, isn't it? Like, you should have to do it, because it teaches you so many things.
Yes, it does. It's just like, you don't understand, you need to do it.
Yeah, it's, yeah, you definitely learn a lot from it, that's for sure. But so despite all the confidence, like, again, like I said, you smile a lot, you laugh a lot, and it's amazing, but when it comes time to switch it on, you're able to switch it on. Like, when it comes to competitions, we see you, and you just, there's just this look in your eye. What is going through, not in a bad way, there's just, like, this look in your eye, and you're about to slay whatever is in front of you. What is going through your mind at that point?
Like, when I go up to the platform, like, I know it's my mission, and that's, like, my mission to, like, to get the attempt. I think of it like it's my job to get this attempt. It's my job. I must get this and prove to my coach that I can lift, you know? But I, like I said, like, I visualize, and this is what I say to people in the gym. Like, you go up to that platform like it's another day in the gym. Mm-hmm. It is your squat rack. It's your bench rack, your deadlift platform. You lift like you do in the gym, because obviously you perform well in the gym.
Yep.
You want to carry that over to the platform. So I just imagine myself. I got my spotters around me, and I'm just lifting. That's what I do. And I just, of course, like, I have a certain playlist of songs I like to listen to get psyched up, and I just save that for heavy sets and competition only.
Okay.
And get psyched up. Get up there.
Okay. What is it you listen to before those heavy sets? I'm curious.
I don't know how to really say the songs. They're German music.
Okay. Okay.
So there's some Rammstein and Icebreaker, nice, and some Disturbed, and Before I Deadlift, my new song. I like to listen to The Wobble.
Okay.
Because the delt is not my best lift, but it is slowly getting better, so it's the wobble.
Okay.
And I Prevail's version of Blank Space. That's what I like to listen to.
Okay.
There's other music. There's other music, like, in there, like, while I'm sitting and waiting. But, like, to go up on the platform, that's what I listen to.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. I've actually got Disturbed on mine as well. I've got a couple of those that you mentioned on mine. Rammstein, one of the bigger ones.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know what it is, but, I don't listen to heavy metal that often. But as soon as I get in the gym, like, it's just heavy metal everything. Like, I listen to a lot of classic rock, like Maiden, Thin Lizzy, and those kind of people. But, like... as soon as I get in the gym, everything is like as heavy as I can possibly bear. Every single time. So I'm curious, and my fiance actually wanted to know this as well. Why powerlifting? Like, what made you take that step to pursue powerlifting? What was it about it that drew you in?
Well, so what started was, this is honestly the only way to explain it. So back in junior high, I don't know what it's called over there. So, like, middle school.
Okay, yeah.
Middle school, I was a volleyball player. But when it came to high school, you had to try out for the team. I went to a really small school.
Okay.
So there's usually 30 in a graduation class. And ours was abnormally large, and it was in the 60s. But it's just the way how some schools are, stereotypical. You know, you have to be a tall, cute, skinny little thing volleyball player. I didn't fit that mold. I was around 90 kilos back then, but I was still one of the better players. Mm-hmm. But because I didn't have the looks, this is the honest truth. I'm not sugarcoating it, you know, because I didn't have the looks. And actually, a couple of my friends who are shorter than me, they didn't make the team because they were way too short. And so I didn't make the team. Obviously, mm-hmm. I'm a girl. I have emotions. I have feelings. And I went home to my mom. I didn't make the team. She was honestly in shock. Honestly, she knew I was one of the good players. Mm-hmm. And she went to the athletic director, and he said, well, she could do cheerleading or powerlifting. And no to cheerleading. Sorry, people. No. And so I did powerlifting.
Oh, okay.
And so it was after Thanksgiving break, so the Monday after Thanksgiving, November 25th, 2002. Yes, I know the day. I started, it was my first day in the weight room. I knew absolutely nothing. Nothing. So it's like when people say, I don't know anything. Yes, I've been there before.
Yeah.
I did not know. I mean, I legit nothing. Like, say you want to, I can't put it in perspective. I knew nothing. I didn't know what a squat, bench, deadlift, a clean, a 5 pound, 10. I knew. I didn't know what a dumbbell was. I didn't know what a barbell was. I had to ask, I don't know how many times, how much the bar weighed. I had to ask for help, what to put on the bar for 80 pounds, you know, or nothing. Zilch. But that's how I started. And day one, I learned how to squat and bench 45, 50, 50 pound, 55 pounds.
Nice.
On the bar. And that's how I started. And so I would go to, you know, after school every day. I would train for an hour, hour and a half, socialize, you know, whatever, learn, watch, observe. And I had my first walkout partner. His name was Tyler Wade, and he would work out with me every day. He was like 2 years younger than me, and he did not care that I was a girl. But that's how I got into powerlifting. I didn't make the volleyball team. So it's like somewhat like Michael Jordan, you know, he didn't make the basketball team.
Mm.
Except he went back to play basketball, but I don't want him to go back to volleyball.
He didn't do too badly, did he?
I was like, I didn't make the team, and I kept on getting better and better every week, and I went to my first competition, I think 4 or 5 weeks after I started, and I squatted and deadlifted 205 pounds, and I benched 105 or 115
nice.
Pounds. Sorry, I don't know kilos. 100, no, it's not even 100 kilos. 90-something.
Yeah, 90, it's about 95, I think.
There we go.
They're all going with 95. It's fine.
Yeah,
that's incredible though. Like, it's a nice story, and I think it's one of the things that a lot of people seem to forget is that actually this takes time. Like, it doesn't happen overnight, and we all started somewhere. Like, you see, I'm not a fan of resolutions. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not really a big fan of them. But the people that join the gym in January, like, I respect them for doing so. But a lot of people are still too scared to ask questions when they really shouldn't be, because we've all been there. And I've realised sometimes it can be intimidating, but we've all been there. So you just ask. There's no harm in asking at all. It's...
So I have my reasons like why I love powerlifting so much, and I even when I played basketball, like I was playing at a high level, powerlifting was always at the basis of my training. I just never knew what powerlifting was. I always trained. It's funny, I trained like a powerlifter without having a clue at all what it was, like nothing. So what has powerlifting taught you? Like, what has been the biggest lesson you've taken from powerlifting? Not necessarily just in terms of like physical development, but mental development, whatever it is. What have you learned from it?
That's not a question. I'm just like such an internal motivator that like it just drives me to keep going. It's just like powerlifting, it fulfills my competitive spirit more than anything. Because I like to have goals and something to go for, and it's a sport I know I can do my whole life, and it doesn't stop in high school or college. But it taught me that there's no boundaries. You can do it forever. And I just look forward to traveling with it. But it just taught me dedication and listen and be coachable and time. Like I always refer back to those four keywords because they always come back. But that's what it taught me. It's just time management. And then, I learned more about nutrition-wise. I don't do that great with it, but I still know stuff. And
that's like me too. I do exactly the same.
I know stuff. I just don't want to do it. You do learn a lot, and you get to learn and meet people. So it's like it's hard to answer because so much comes to mind with that question.
So what's your favorite thing about powerlifting?
Aww, there's a lot.
What's your absolute favorite thing about it?
The people.
Yeah.
The people. I'm just being honest. Like, I do not care about real holidays. Powerlifting meets are my holidays because
I like
that family. Yeah. The powerlifters are my family. And so you only get to see them a couple times a year. And that's what I look forward to. It's the people, the environment. That's the honest favorite thing.
Yeah. It's absolutely incredible. I remember I did my first two meets in September and October. They were 3 weeks between each other. And I was, don't get me wrong, in my weight class, I was weaker than everybody. But it was just, the community was just incredible. Everyone was screaming when I was going for a PR. And I was like, oh my God, what is this? It's just amazing.
It's just how we are. That's just like, this different from basketball, football, CrossFit, powerlifting, track. We are a different community of people. We will root for you for anything and everything. We want you to get that PR. We want you to grow. We want you to get better. You know, it's not like, I guess there's some federations, there's elite totals. I'm like, elite total, what's that? Who cares? Go for the record. That's the elite totals, the record. Yeah. I don't know.
Do you know what I love? It's just the camaraderie, yes. But you take people like Bryce Lewis and Screamer, for example, fighting over that squat world record. They're still great friends. Like, you put that in any other sport, they'd probably hate each other.
Yeah. It's true, just like Hildeberg. Like, she has the bench record. I'm like, you can have it, honey.
Yeah.
She's my from another month.
But it's just, everyone is a friend. And I mean, obviously, of course, you're always going to get one person that isn't like that. But for the most part, in powerlifting, everyone I've spoken to has been encouraging and amazing and just so friendly. And it's so refreshing.
Yeah. Well, I'm in the zone. I'm not friendly, though. I'm
beaten. I get that. I think so many people have told me I look really angry when I'm like psyched up. Oh, I'm not an angry person at all, but okay, I'm sorry.
It's just competing and working out, or
I think one of my favorite things about powerlifting, aside from the people, is the fact that it's always you. Like I said this in the previous podcast I did, like, let's say you had 800 pounds on the bar. I haven't got 800 pounds on the bar, just for record, but if you had 800 pounds on the bar, that weight never changes. Like, there's no other variable. It's always 800 pounds, but it's always you that has to you have to put in the effort. You have to make the difference to be able to lift that. You have to get stronger. And that's what I love, is it's you versus you and nothing else. No one can help you.
Exactly. That's how it was when I was younger. I was always competing against myself, always trying to set a personal best at every meet. Like, it was just me. I didn't look at everybody else. I just did what I could do at best. And that's what I still do. So that's when, like, people ask me, what you have at a bar? What you set? I'm like, I don't know. I didn't hit a PR, so I don't care. Well, I do care, but it's like, it doesn't stick because I didn't beat my own record yet. Yeah. So, but it is true. And that's what, a buddy of mine, oh gosh, why am I going blank on names now? Wow. No, that's bad. Oh, now I'm going blank. Oh, that's my buddy. It's you versus you. I always think of his Brick House Power. Jack. Sorry, Jack. Gosh, when I think of him, I was going to call him Brick House when I see him. So, like, you know, your name doesn't register. Your real name doesn't register anymore. It's your Instagram name. But it is you versus you all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I remember I started playing basketball. The reason I started playing basketball is because somebody told me I would never make it. Somebody told me I'd never get better. So I literally spent an entire summer. I was shooting, like, 1,000 jump shots a day. And I remember the first day, I didn't make many at all. I'm not even going to give you the number, but out of 1,000, it wasn't many. So it was more than that.
In fact, all right.
The next day, I went back and I made more. And then every single day, I think I ended up shooting, like, it was either like 20 or 30,000 shots by the end of this summer period that I'd done.
Woo!
But every day I was trying to get better. And I loved that. I've always been one of those people that, don't get me wrong, I love playing in basketball games. I love competing in meets. But I just prefer the process. Like, I really enjoy the process of getting better. No matter what it is, I get a kick out of it. And I'm not sure where it comes from, but I just enjoy getting better.
Yeah. And that's how powerlifting is. You can always look back of, like, how, like, that everybody does the throwback Thursdays and flashback Fridays. I try to dabble into it. I'm not the greatest. Because it's like, oh, I don't want to show a training video, you know. But it's fun to look back. Just like, or like, I write down my workouts. I've been really bad the past few weeks. But, like, it's fun to look back. Like, I could find a workout book right now. Like, okay, let me pick a day. Like, oh, wow, that's it. Okay, so. Okay, so, like, a squat day. I apparently I only did 5-10 for 4 and I was happy, you know, but I can do that for more now. But see, like that, it's fun to see your progress.
Yeah.
You know, how you get better.
Isn't it? I wouldn't mind doing 5-10 for 4. That would be nice.
Well, I just picked the day. I just opened it up and that's what was there.
Just making me feel bad about myself on my own podcast.
All right.
I mean,
all right. No, wait, that was 200. And 10 pounds.
That's better. I prefer that. So, for me...
That was 2015. Things... Does that make it feel better? I was 2015, so it took years to get to the better now.
not really, but it's fine. It's fine. I don't mind. So, one of the things that I love and that I utilise powerlifting for with Bourne is its educational, like, properties. And this is going to sound really bizarre and some people don't get it, but every time I say it to a powerlifter, they understand it, so I really enjoy saying it. But how do I word this? So me personally, I think, like, the educational purposes of powerlifting and the properties that you get from it, I think it's just incredible because it develops self-confidence and it helps you with, like, for me personally, it's helped with body dysmorphia and, like, my mental health in general. But I think it gives you so much mentally. Like, does that make sense to you? I don't know if I'm making any sense, but I think powerlifting gives so much mentally because so many of the things that you do in powerlifting are transferable to life. It can teach you things that you may never have learned in life, but you would be ready for them because you've done it somewhere else in an experience you can draw on.
It helps build confidence. And I say that to so many lifters when they get under the bar and I'm like, you need to go under that bar with confidence. Mm. You need to have that positive mindset that you can do it. If you think and doubt yourself 1 minute that you can't do it, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that attempt and you're going to suffer. And you're, or like if they constantly look in the mirror on squats, I'm like, stop looking in the mirror because you are looking for what's wrong. You're doubting yourself that you're going to do what's wrong. And then you're going to not focus on that weight and you're not going to get a better squat. You're not going to go up in weight. So it does build confidence, you know, and like for me, well, like I was still shy, but that was because I was in high school. Mm-hmm. So, you know, high school is different. And like I was, and like I said, I was shunned, but after that, it helped me create to what I am now. Just a happy, confident person. I don't care what you say, whatever, go away. Get out of the negativity. So I do believe in that. It helps with confidence and helps, you know.
Absolutely. It's like, yeah. It's funny, when I played basketball, it was, I there's a lot, a whole long story, but to cut it short, basically, I ruptured my Achilles. Kate said it was going to be the making of me. But the one thing that... Oh, it was rough. It was horrible. The one thing that I always got from it was, no matter what... I used to have days where I didn't want to play basketball, when I started to fall out of love with it, but I always wanted to lift. I wasn't the strongest, but no matter what, going to the gym always helped me mentally because it helped me get everything out. It helped me just express whatever. And I'd turn my heavy metal on, I'd be in there for 3 or 4 hours just punishing myself. But I loved that because it was just... Again, like we said earlier, you're just pushing yourself all the time. And it's such a beautiful thing. It sounds so cliche, but it's so beautiful.
Oh, no. I died last night. Like, what happened? No, seriously, yesterday, I messed up on my third attempt. My third working set, my final set. I looked, I'm like, I messed up. I misloaded. I was 5 pounds under what I was supposed to do. Even though it was 5 pounds, 5 pounds is a difference.
Yeah.
And I messaged Kim. I'm like, Kim, I messed up. I did the wrong weight. And do you want me to do another set? You know, because I'm like, I'm going to tell her I messed up. And it was easy. Because he messed up. And she was like, do it again. I'm like, okay, well, we're going to do another set. I'm like, okay, what? Double, single, triple? What do you want me to do? She's like, nope, you're still going to do it for a triple. And she gave me the weight. I'm like, okay. And I already had my shoes off. I was partially knee sleeves were almost off. I'm like... And I had a friend, I'm like, can you help me load the weight? Like, can you load while I get my shoes and knee sleeves on? I didn't tell her this part. Yeah, you're the first one to hear it. Because it happened yesterday. And, you know, and then, like, you just, you punish yourself, but it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And it's... I did 4 heavy sets of 3 yesterday. But I'm not sore today. I'm kind of surprised.
That's good.
But just going in there, that just, it. Like, lifting weights just helps a lot of people with stress and just take their mind out of the rest of the world, like their current world. And it's just, like, doing that, it just it's good. That's why I like Skyrim. I like Skyrim because I get to go in that world.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think a lot of people can relate to that, can't they? Like, I remember when I was younger and I was being bullied and stuff, online gaming was one of the things that I always turned to because I was good at it. Like, I found some self-worth in it because I was so good at it. But I... Like, with me and my lifting, it was more... I don't know how to explain it. I was very... Because I... Yes, it was a punishment, like you said, but you enjoy it. There's something about that punishment that we enjoy, and it's because we know we're getting better. Like...
Yeah. You just want to keep growing and keep getting bigger and better.
Exactly,
and improving yourself.
Yeah, and I think... I remember getting some serious stick from people. People just mocking me because they didn't like it or whatever. And I was like, well, I'm doing something to push myself forward. And that, like, now, obviously, I can look back and I'm like, well, I don't really give a shit what you think. But back then, like, it mattered to me. But
no,
it takes a long time, doesn't it?
Yeah, but no, exactly. When you said the word bullying, it triggered a memory. I was actually made fun of lifting weights in high school. Yeah. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I was made fun of because they noticed I was getting stronger.
Mm.
And, of course, guys aren't going to like that. Guys, not all guys have egos, okay, but high school, football players and all that crap, not all of them. Sorry, some of the guys were good to me in high school, but majority of them really didn't care. So I was bullied. So that's another reason why being a shy introvert was I was being made fun of what I had a passion for. And I think that's what also drove me because I wanted to be better than them and prove, you know, and that motivated me, I guess, also.
I get that. Like, it's exactly the same when I started playing basketball. I wanted to be better than ever. I was the worst. Like, I was so bad, I can't even explain to you how bad I was. But
you had fun, right?
well, yeah. But I got better because someone told me I couldn't do it. And I took that to the point where I was offered professional contracts. And then I realized that I didn't love it as much anymore. But that was like 6 years of my life. And it was crazy. But... It taught me a lot, and that's what I love about that experience, because, yeah, it was a sucky experience, someone telling me that, and you saying that. I'm so sorry to hear you were bullied, but people don't like when people are getting better than them and they're not. Like, people don't like that, do they? Like, a lot of people, sorry, obviously not powerlifting, because we all seem to enjoy that, but a lot of people don't like it.
No, it's true. It still, it even occurs to us even now. It happened to me... Unfortunately, I stepped away from a gym for a little bit because of the drama and whatnot. And so I'm like, I'll go back eventually, maybe get better. But no, it still happens now. And like, and it just kind of stinks that like the higher you get, the more people want to target. Oh, there's a gap. Like, you just become a target, and, like, you just... And, like, I did break down, and I talked to my coach, Kim, you know, and we just had a heart-to-heart, and I just told her, like, I said all my expressions, and like, you, what you said, there's always people going to be out there beating down on you because you're getting better than them, and, yeah, so it's true, so... Still happens, darn it.
Yeah, but it sucks, doesn't it? Like, it, oh, I know it happens to all of us at any age, and it's always going to happen, but that's one thing I eventually... Because I want to open my own charity one day with Bourne. That's what my goal is. I want a charity for mental health. But I want a place where if someone has a mental illness or they don't have the confidence or they're being bullied or whatever it is, they can go there and they can just shut everything out. Like, they go and they feel comfortable. Because the one thing that really angers me is bullying. It really, really gets to me just because I spent so much of my life being bullied. So if I see someone being bullied, I can't even bear it. I hate it so much. And it's difficult because a lot of people might think of bullying as just like being physically abused or beaten up or whatever, but bullying goes so far beyond that. So far beyond that. And it's horrible.
Oh, yeah. Just remembering I don't remember high school because I shun out the bad. Mm. But, like, oh, yeah, that's just how it was with me in powerlifting. I even did a year of football. Of course the boys didn't like that. But I was only on JV, so it wasn't varsity. Mm. It was junior varsity. But I'm like, well, I was a starter, so apparently you guys liked me enough and you knew I was good. Yeah. So whatever.
But that's the thing, isn't it? As long as you're comfortable progressing yourself and you're comfortable that you are... Basically, like you keep saying, is as long as you're happy, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks.
Yeah. I just kept pushing myself and do better.
Yeah.
Prove them wrong.
And then apparently, I can go back and look at people and they're in exactly the same position, but I've managed to grow. And I'm sure you can do the same. Like, you can look at people in high school that have stayed in exactly the same position that said you wouldn't be able to do it or whatever. And you've obviously done pretty well for yourself, we could say, with powerlifting. You haven't done too bad, have you?
Nah. I'm still striving. Still struggling a little.
So what would you say to somebody that was considering going into powerlifting, but they weren't 100% sure? Well, like, what would you say to convince them to take that step and to get under the bar?
Well, you don't know until you try it. Mm. You don't know. If you don't, you know, and like, that's like, how do you know you don't like it if you don't try it?
Yeah.
Honestly, that's from the cute little movie Brave. But it's true. It's like, you don't know until you try it. Even with food, that's the most common thing. Mm. But like, but you can't, but also you have to give it time. It's not going to be like after one session, ugh, or yeah, you know, you have to like, dude, give it a couple weeks, see how it goes. And like, and you also just got to make sure the person matches up with somebody that's going to like, to make it fun, make it a positive experience. Yeah. So that's when, like, anybody's with me, I'm like, I'm going to make this fun. I'm going to be, like, strict fun. Mm. It's not going to be, like, major pain yelling at you or anything like that. It's going to be so nice and positive and have fun and learn. But then, like, so just, like, just try it. Mm-hmm. And then also patience. You know, it's just like you see all them big old bodybuilders. They don't get to that big old size in 2 days.
No, exactly. You know,
it takes time.
Exactly.
So... you gotta try it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, you might not enjoy it. Like, some people might not enjoy it at all, but they might find something else they enjoy. But the point is to just do it, because you don't learn unless you do it. So
like, I have a roommate, and like, he keeps on wanting to try paintball. He's like, I'm not good at it. I'm like, how do you know you're not gonna be good at it until you try it? You have to put time and investment in it. You have to try, you have to practice, you have to pay
exactly
to get better.
Exactly.
Like, whatever. I give up.
I think it's one of those things, though, isn't it? Like, we'll get serious a bit, but going into like the social media world that we live in, where everything is so instant, like, if people aren't good at it straight away, screw it, don't want to do it, I'm not good at that. And it's such a shame. Like, obviously, I'm sure most of the people I've spoken to can relate, and most powerlifters will, but like I said earlier, I just enjoy the process. Like, if I'm struggling, in a really weird way, I enjoy it. If things are going really, really well, I know something's going to go wrong at some point. So I'm ready for it. And I enjoy learning about it to improve. But some people just... I guess everyone's wired differently, but some people just don't want that, do they? They just want things easy.
Yeah.
So...
Exactly.
Yeah. And it kind of ties me into my next bit. So I have a strong belief that any world champion in anything, it doesn't matter what it is, any world champion has a completely different mindset from the other competitors, because you don't get to become a world champion without having the mental capacity to do so. So I'm curious how your mental capacity and your like mental approach has changed from, let's say, not your first competition, obviously, because you're still learning, but from like when you were doing amateur stuff to now being a world champion. Like, how has your mindset changed in that time?
Well, honestly, no one... Okay, I shouldn't say no one. So I was competitor from 04 to 08. And, okay, so I guess my other... it's so, like, all the people from that time, that era, I'm not saying we're old, like, I'm old, like, you know, I'm well-seasoned. Even though I'm young, I'm well-seasoned. So it's so hard to explain. So from 04 to 08, so I did go to Women's Worlds, mm-hmm. Open Worlds, and I also went to Sub-Junior Worlds. And there was two countries and their national anthems that we heard over and over and over again. Men and women weight classes. So the old weight classes, so there was more. We had 10 women on a team and 12 or 13 or something for guys. Mm-hmm. So it's just hearing those anthems. That was my other motivation. And you know, I don't think of everything because I'm not in the competition zone, but this is my other source of motivation. I want to hear our anthem.
Yeah.
So sorry, USA anthem, sorry. Or any country. Well, okay, I'm going to favor ours. I want to hear our anthem. I can tear up now because it's so personal. It's,
yeah.
And no one understands, like, you know, Priscilla Rebeck, Leanne Blinn. I'm trying to think, like, who other, like, David Ricks would understand. I'm trying to think other lifters that are lifting then and now. Like, they're the ones that are going to understand the frustration of how we had to hear these two certain anthems. I'm not going to say it. It's not going to say it. But when I got platform, my first championship, I bawled. I cried in 2015. I cried in 2016. I will continue crying because of that drive,
yeah.
That motivation.
I think that's natural though, isn't it? Like, because it means, yeah, something to you. It's not just that, yeah, you're competing and you've done it and you're okay, great, but you cry because it means something to you.
Yeah. And it's like, I did it. I finally did it.
Mm.
I made my country proud, made my teammates proud, made myself proud. Little tears.
And inspired so many along the way as well.
I forgot the question. Because that's how much it means to me. So I forgot the question. What was the question?
It was about how the mental capacity has changed, oh, from being an amateur to being a world champion.
Oh, okay. That's the question. So back then I was just a kid. And so, like, I knew I couldn't get to that top number one spot because I was just a baby. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, I was only... You know, 15, 16, 17, 18, you know, yeah, I ain't going to get up number one. I got these older women I'm going against. But I still try to make my country proud and still get points for the team.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, I'm at that level. It's game on. I got to go. I can fight. I'm not a kid anymore. I'm an adult. It's game on. Let's go. Yeah. So, yeah, it is different from, like, an age aspect and time in the sport.
Mm.
You know, and like when I came back in 2013, okay, like I said, there wasn't that many people from like 04 to 08, 5 years later. So it changed a lot and people thought I was new.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not, I am, but I'm not new. I do know the sport. So it was kind of fun coming back and relive being a newbie again a little bit. But it was a different ballpark, but it was a different. It was a different game because I wasn't a kid to an adult.
Yeah.
So it is a different mindset. It is.
So what do you prefer, equipped or raw?
What do you prefer competing in? I do want to do both. I honestly do want to do both, but okay. I don't have the resources. So, like, I don't know how Blaine does it. I don't know how Blaine does it. There's no way I can do all this by myself like he does. Or how he used to. You know, now he has his wife, Jess. But, I don't have the support. I do have some support. So raw lifting, it's easier because I can go in, do my thing, and there's other raw people, you know, normal gym folks and whatnot, but they don't know equipped.
Okay, yeah.
And so they don't understand, and they think I'm being, and I'm not, you know, like, they think I'm being super, super high maintenance. And I'm like, dude, my suits are loose compared to other people. You don't understand. I'm a little angel here. So it's just like, I just don't have a team You gotta have a team of people that know how to work equipment. Like my friend Kip, he found Sarah Matt in Wisconsin, so he's able to do equip lifting to have that support.
Yeah.
So like I get to have a little jealousy of him. But like I don't have it. So it's like I can't. And I know like Joe Capolino, he drools over me what I can do on squat. I'm like, I drool too, but I don't know. I don't have that resources. And that's what it's hard. Like and like our calendar of nationals and worlds, because I juggled both last year and it was hard. It was hard on my body. Like I wanted to go to the Reykjavik International Games and I had to drop out because I'm like, I need a break. Because I did 6 full powers last year.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I did 6 full powers and it was just hard. And so it's just like, you know, and I don't want to pick one over the other because it stinks that I'm good at both. And it's like, if they make the calendar better, I think I would consider to constantly do both, but like, I would have to stick with Raw because like, I can go in and I can just lift and I do what my coach has me to do. Okay. Except bench is hard to find lift offs, but you know, squat and deadlift, I can just do it.
Yeah.
It's just hard.
I can imagine it is like second competition, I helped a guy get his deadlift suit on. And I was like, wow, that can't be comfortable.
Did he at least have slippers or anything for the legs?
No.
Nope.
No, nothing.
Oh, so we made it really hard.
Yeah, I was like, well, this is uncomfortable putting it on, so how does that feel with it on? Like, that just can't be nice. Yeah. He was like, oh, it's not too bad. I was like, yeah, I don't really believe you, but okay, that's fine. If you enjoy that. But I'm always curious because obviously we see at the moment we see a lot of raw lifting. In the last couple of years, raw powerlifting has really, really blown up. But I'm always fascinated by like the equipped lifters because I don't know what it is. It's just because it's something that I'm not quite as familiar with, I think. I find it really fascinating. Like I enjoy learning about it and I enjoy it. But I've always wondered like why people enjoy equipped so much. So why do you enjoy equipped so much?
Well, because you can lift more weight. That's what's fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like it, because you can just lift more and push your body even further.
Yeah.
And then honestly, like, that's what it was. Back when I was younger, that was the only thing back then, was just equipped lifting.
Yeah.
And during the 5 years I was gone, I didn't keep up with anything of powerlifting. I didn't keep up with stuff. So I don't even know how raw powerlifting came into it. I have no idea. I'm just being honest. I have no clue. No clue. I can tell you about 2013 forward, you know, like how, you know, it was like 300 lifters and then 2015 it was 400-ish. Mm. Then all of a sudden, holy crap, now it's a 1,000 lifters at nationals. How'd this happen?
That was crazy, wasn't it?
You know? Yeah, so like but I just enjoyed the equipped, you know, just to push your body further to see what you can do.
Mm.
And that's why I like it, you know.
It amazes me because obviously I know you can push a lot more weight, but I genuinely have always been curious as to why, not why people do it, because I know everyone has their interest, but like I've only ever known raw powerlifting. So I've always been intrigued as to why people enjoy raw equipped so much. So thank you for explaining that to me, because it's like, I don't think I'd ever, obviously I wouldn't have the resources where I am to try it, but it might be interesting one day to give it a go and see what it's like. I put knee wraps on once and I hated every single second of it. So.
Well, when you're new to wraps, you should never put it on super tight, like for Blaine or Joe, who's going to squat 1,000. Okay. You don't do it that tight. You know, you got to have it loose.
Yeah.
So you understand, then slowly tighter. So that person was mean to you. Saying that right now.
I put it on and I took them off and I was like, oh, you know that feeling when you really need to pee and then you actually pee?
Yeah.
It was like that feeling when I took them off. It was the best feeling ever. I loved it.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because my squat went up straight away and I thought, wow, that was fun. Like, I enjoyed that. But I can imagine it's a lot more work to do equipped, surely.
It is. It's a different animal, different technique.
Hmm.
You know, and like a lot of raw lifters, not bashing on raw or nothing, but it's like they don't understand the way, like, I had to learn how to change my squat stance, you know, when I went to equipped. Mm-hmm. I have to flip a switch and, like, how to bench and, like, my approach on lift. It's totally different technique. And, like, I was going to write this nice long paper for Darrington Wright on my opinion on going from raw to equipped deadlifts to give him tips. And I'm like, oh, I didn't have the time and was like, ah, he's already all into it, forget it. Maybe I'll talk to him in person and say my opinion and tell him, help him. But it's just a different animal.
Yeah.
It is. And you just have to have a blank slate, be a newbie, and just listen to who's helping you.
It must
when it comes
be
to it.
Yeah, it must be really difficult, though, to, like you said, there's two different techniques. So how do you, because obviously with powerlifting, it's a lot of repetition. We have that motor pattern ingrained in us. So how do you all of a sudden switch your motor pattern to the equipped? Like how do you go about doing that? Or does the suit help with that?
That's practice. It's just practice in the suits and whatnot. You just learn your new setup. Well, not totally new. Like, you still kind of do the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just a different foot position, mainly.
Okay.
And, like, when to activate your knees and glutes and, you know, and that's just the main part of it. And, like, bench, you just got to learn how to tuck it, different power position, make sure you're on your shoulders more. Mm. And deadlift. It's just getting down to the bar. It's the tough part. Just getting down to it. That's why I was like, I said to James Townsend at Worlds, I'm like, please just let me go raw. I can't get down with the suit. He's like, okay. I'm like, sweet. Because I couldn't get down with the suit. It's just also time. That's the other big, big, just like a new belt. You know, when you get a new belt,
yeah.
It's not worn in. Same thing with equipment. It's not going to fit you like a glove when you get out of the grocery store or retail store, you know? It's not going to fit. Mm. You have to take the time and patience and consistency to have it mold to you, to stretch it out. It just takes time.
And it's going to suck.
Yeah, it does. But it works. Like, you know, like when I got my squat suit altered, I was like, oh, night and day. Heck yeah, I can squat now. You know, it just takes time.
I think it's really cool. Like, there's been a few people that I've seen recently that have kind of gone straight into equipped as opposed to just, obviously they're still doing raw, but a lot of their stuff is more equipped. So I just find it really interesting to hear about the equipped lifters because, like, people talk about it now like it was so many years ago, but in reality, it wasn't that long ago, really.
Like, okay, I came in 2013, like, what was it, 2010? Around 2010 or 2011 or something like that. Mm. At least in America, anyway.
Yeah.
Because I know, because I think my coach, like, because she went to somewhere 13, 12, I think 2011 was like a raw cup of
okay.
some sort. I had to look into IPF results on that.
Mm.
So whenever that IPF raw cup thing, they don't want to count it as a real world championship. So I want to guess the year before that
yeah.
is when.
Okay.
I don't know. I have to look it up. I'm going to get bashed out. How do you not know? Because I lifted from 2013 on. That's what mattered. There you go. That's my answer.
It's amazing.
Final answer.
It's amazing to me now. Like, you see people like Ray Williams, for example, like a 1,000-pound squat raw. What? Like, you see people that are outlifting the people in gear, and that's. That's pretty crazy.
Well, Blaine, he did 500 kilos, so
well,
that's 1,100.
Blaine is a bit of a monster, that guy. He's just a different breed, isn't he, Blaine?
He's a sweetie, though.
Yeah, he just seems like...
Blaine, I called you sweetie.
he's one of my people on my list. I'm trying to get him at the moment, but it's like...
he's always traveling. He's hard to get a hold of, trust me.
Yeah, I found that. It's just incredible to me, like, the amount of weight that that guy puts on his back. I'm just like, what? That, wow. I can't even imagine, like, mind you, I guess it's all relative, isn't it? Because he's going to be going, let's say he goes for an UPR, like, that's going to weigh a hell of a lot, well, it's going to weigh a lot. But when I go for an UPR, that hurts like hell on my back. And obviously it's a considerable amount of weight, but I guess it's just adjusting to those things, isn't it? He's done it for a long time, so he's steadily going to get better, and he's well adjusted to that. But again, like we've just said with him, it amazes me how people can go from to raw to equipped and then a bit of crit back to raw and do that like multiple times in a year. That's incredible.
It's hard. Yeah. It ain't easy. It's hard. Like I said, 6 full hours last year in 2016.
That's mad.
It is hard.
That's a lot of work.
This year it's going to be hard, too, because, like, it's just the timing of everything. Because June, it's Raw Worlds, but then in July, it's the World Games. And so I have to train for both.
Mm.
It's hard. It That ain't easy.
So it's how would you go about doing something like that? Would you have the focus on the second competition, but with the first competition in mind? Nope. Or is it focus on the first one first and then focus on the second one?
So, because I had so many competitions, and I got it ingrained in my head by my coach, and it's worked wonderfully. Granted, I know what competitions are coming up, but like my mindset right now is the Arnold Classic. That's my mind.
Yep.
That is what I'm training for. And so, like, I know there's other competitions, and so it's just the programming that Kim does, it will go, so like say pretend Arnold Classic is done, so it's April, May. I know that there's two competitions back to back, but I'm still focused. I got to do well at Raw Worlds. Yeah. I want to win. I got to go for that. And then, but still, yes, very close to the forefront. Yes, the World Games will be in my mind. Mm-hmm. That'll be on, so the way to explain it is like the training. So like, I know there's going to be days I'm going to be in a squat suit or something. So my mindset will be World Game focused. Boom. Yeah. Like, so I guess it is both, but it'll be mainly also, I got to do Raw Worlds first.
Yeah.
Like, so it's kind of hard to explain. So it's kind of going both directions.
Okay.
But it's just, the workout. Like, I don't look at my workout till really day of, honestly. Actually, when I get into the damn gym. So I'm not psyching myself out.
Yeah.
So, like, I just focus. Okay, you know, this kind of workout today. And that's how I flip the switch, I guess.
I guess that's also the benefit of having a coach, isn't it, as well, though? Like, if you're doing your own programming, you know what numbers are coming, but having a coach, he can be like, well, you're doing this today, and you get in the gym, you're like, oh, okay. But they have complete control, so you do as you're told.
Uh-huh, I like it. All coaches, she has a coach. All coaches have a coach.
Mm.
You know, also, like, we all got a coach. And, you know, you just got to be a coachable person, always communicate. And, you know, and there's days I'm guilty that I do not feel good and I still work out, or there's mental days like I don't want to lift.
Yeah.
And I just message Kim and then she gets my head back in the game.
But that's extremely valuable, isn't it? To have not just a coach like that, but a friend like that as well. Like, that's so valuable to have in your life, because you can have someone that can help to push you and just flip that switch. That's so... it's such a beneficial thing to have.
It is, yeah. And so, like, it is a coach and a lifter relationship. It's not just coach and lifter. Yeah, it is, but it is a bonding. It is a friendship, you know? And then, like, the people that I talk to that I help try to guide, I'm like, I just want communication. You got to tell me what's up. You got to tell me what's going on here. Like, you don't have to tell me every aspect of your life, but, like, I need to know what's going on a little bit so I know it's affecting you, or if something's sore, like, what did you do to hurt yourself, or, you know, it's... communicate.
Yeah.
And she doesn't like it when I do phone auxiliary days. Anything outside of powerlifting, you're like, why'd you do that?
Stop it. Do as you're told.
Basically. You said it was phone auxiliary day. I could do what I want. Well, like, apparently not. I need to tell you what to do.
You have to behave.
Oh, she doesn't like it. She didn't like it when I posted that sprinting video.
So let's take a second. Let's get away from powerlifting. I asked most of the guests this. What, if you're comfortable to answer it, of course, I understand if you're not, but what do you feel has been the biggest challenge that you've had to face in your life? Like, what's been the hardest thing you've had to go through? And again, I appreciate if you don't want to share something, but just curious.
Well, most recently, because that's just going to come out and open anyway, like getting separation from my husband, that was the hardest.
Okay.
Honestly, that's been recent. And that did take a mental toll and physical toll. During my powerlifting career, but honestly, I went to a competition and being around my powerlifting friends, I was just like, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
And it flipped the switch, and there's still ups and downs, but I'm like, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I got my powerlifting friends. There's positives with this. I'm like, we still talk and we're still friends and stuff, and I'm cool.
Mm.
I'm fine.
And that's, I think, again,
I know, I'm not fine. I'm not, and I
am. No, of course, obviously we're always going to have our up and down days, and that's completely understandable, but like I said earlier, your personality, like, it's just, you see the good in everything, and that's fantastic. Like, it's good to be able to do that, because you then lead a happier life, and things don't get to you as much, but So I'm curious, obviously it's not a nice situation to be in. Is there things that you've learned from it that have helped? Because one of the things for me is, like, all the situations that happen in our life, no matter what it is, it shapes us into the person that we are. So what do you feel like that you've learned from those tough situations in your life?
Well, just the current situation is just make sure, like, I don't know, there's a lot. No, it's just like, I'm going to tell everybody anyway, eventually. It's just, like, he's supportive, but just make sure you just have a person that does the sport with you. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like just there with you no matter, like, I don't know. No, he's still there. I don't know how to word it. I don't know.
That's absolutely fine.
I'm stuck. I'm like, like, I know what I want to say, but I don't want to say it. I don't know.
It's fine. Like, I'm always just
curious. But the other thing is, like, I moved away from home. Like, I left home. I'm from Michigan. I live in Nebraska.
Oh, okay.
So, like, it was leave home. Also, that was also tough. And then just, like, being somewhere totally new and don't know nothing. Mm. But I think that actually helped, because when I travel, obviously I don't know where I'm at, what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I'm comfortable being lost. I'm more comfortable being lost and not understanding people. Like, when I was in Norway for 2.5 days, I enjoyed it. I didn't care. I couldn't understand people.
I think it takes a lot of the pressure and stress away from it, doesn't it? Because you haven't got a clue what's going on. So you just you can only enjoy what you know is going on.
Yeah, that's all I did. Looked at my phone, my GPS for great way I'm on a map. I'm good.
That would be me. So, I'm the worst. Like, if I went anywhere, I'd be fine with people not being able to speak the same language, but I would always need a map because I get lost going to work.
Oh, so do I. It's Google Maps. Point A to point B. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. Somebody was talking about, like, we're at the gym, Lynette, she was like saying something Harrison, and I'm like, I don't know where that is. That's south somewhere. I don't know. I've been here 9 years. I don't know where it is. Like, I don't need to go that far south.
No, that's always my argument. Google Map. Like, I don't need to go there, so why do I need to know where it is?
Exactly. I'm like, I don't know. I'll tell you Maple and Dodge, but anything beyond that, I don't know. I know how to drive to the gym. That's as far south I go.
That's important. You've got to know.
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing I want to add. People always make an excuse that their gym is like, oh, it's not close enough. It's not close enough. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I drive 30 minutes one way. So, no excuse.
No.
To get to a gym. That's all I want to say.
No, I know. I've got a friend that drives, I think it's 1.25 hours to his place, just because he knows that it's the environment that will support him.
Exactly.
It's making a sacrifice, isn't it? And we all have to do them in life, but it's making a sacrifice to make you happy.
Yes.
Which sounds bizarre.
I drive 2 hours. I've been 2 hours and 15 minutes east to go to Des Moines at times because of the environment, because of the people.
Yeah, you can't put a price on stuff like that. But the thing is, it always baffles me. Like, people might think you're crazy, but then they might go and drive 2.5 hours for whatever they are interested in. So they just can't comprehend that you're going to lift weights. Like, what, you're going to the gym, but it's 2 hours away. Like, why would you do that? But it's what you enjoy. So, I'll start to wrap this up. There's two questions I will always ask people. First of which is, what does the future hold for Bonica Law? Like, what do you want? I'm not going to say where do you want to see yourself in 5 to 10 years, because that's really cheesy. But what does the future hold? Like, what do you know you're going to achieve, and what would you like to achieve?
Like, just in life in general? Yeah, or, like, powerlifting?
Anything at all you like.
Oh, it's so hard to think. I never think that far ahead. I don't. Like, I have a partner in crime in powerlifting. Mm-hmm. And I would really like to have, like, of course I'll still go to a gym. I really want my own little gym. Yeah. Like, not like a business gym, just like, you know, a home gym,
yeah.
An own nice home. Like, there's one on Instagram called Beach. I want something like that. You know, I have a home gym. And there's somebody in. I'm like, hey, come over. Let's live together. You know, let's live to chat. And, like, that's what I want. Okay, or I see on Instagram how there's the meme of, like, your gym is this big and then barely around it's a kitchen and bedroom. And
yeah,
I'm like, that. Like, that's the dream right there. Like, that's what I want. So that's, like, mainly it. Just, like, a partner in crime for lifting. Just have my own little house. that's like a home gym with lots of flowers. I love flowers. So like have every single kind of flower as possible in my yard. Still, of course, a couple cats.
Always cats. Always.
Yeah. Because, well, I like dogs, but it's hard when you travel.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, like, those are like the things I think, honestly, often, you know, okay, I guess I can leave and say, oh, I'd like to win $1 million. I want a fancy car. Okay, I don't care about a car. Like, what was I talking to the other day? I'm like, I really don't care about a new vehicle because I don't, you know, I work from home. Sorry. And it's like, I just drive to the gym. Like, I'm not going to enjoy a nice car. I don't care.
Nice.
Just decent car. I'm fine. You know, so I don't know. It's just a simple homie. I'm a homie person.
Yeah.
You know?
I can relate to that.
Yeah. I'm pretty boring.
Absolutely. No, not at all. Not at all. So
you probably expected some big grand thing. And...
No, not, but this is, do you know what? Home it gym. Always amazes me. No, but that's amazing because, I mean, like you said, you could say, oh, I would like a Ferrari or whatever, but like to me, that would be a boring answer.
I don't care.
No. Like, I just, me personally as well, I have no interest in that stuff. Like, I'd rather do something of value, but it's whatever means something to you, isn't it? And I'm always curious because every single person I ask has something different and I love to hear it from everyone. Now, my last question, and also my next question and my last question, sorry, is I've asked this to every single person I think so far, and it's, what is your definition of strong? Now, obviously not dictionary definition, but your personal definition of strong. If someone asked you, how would you explain it to them?
Someone who just has a strong will is the first thing that came to my mind. Someone who has a strong mentality, reach what they really want and goals in their life. It doesn't have to be like money-based, business-based. It can be anything-based. What they really strive for in life. That's what I've... Honestly, strong will is what came to my mind first, before anything.
Funnily enough, that's actually what comes to mind, is someone that is just willing to fight, normally.
Yeah.
And I love that. So, Bo Nicolò, thank you so much for joining us for Born to Talk episode number 12. It has been a hell of a lot of fun. I have had a fantastic time, and it's been such a great laugh. So thank you so much.
You're welcome, Peter. I had a fun for my first podcast. This was fun and exciting.
I'm so honored. It's amazing. I'm honored to have some, like, it's my first guest with their first podcast. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah. Stroke on the small.